Good morning, church. This is Sunday morning message for the introduction. And a personal thank you greetings to the body of Christ for your prayers, your visits, and for Sharon and Asher. They both are doing good. And it's already been 5 weeks. And for a brief introduction this morning, could we turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And we'll read those four verses. This is what the Apostle Peter has to write. And he's saying this, he's writing this, Simon Peter, a bond servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, and through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, so beautiful verses. And before we get into the message, even as you are listening with your family or as a couple, with some people around you, right now as the recording is going on, we have the AV team here. We have the worship team here. And here's a question. And Obed, can you just come up here? Yeah, here's a question to you guys. And I have Obed here. The question which you can all ask each other wherever you are listening to this is, what is that one thing that you miss not coming to church? What is that one thing that you miss by not coming to church because of the lockdown?
Fellowship with each other.
Wow. Yeah, fellowship with each other. So maybe you can... thanks, Obed. Thank you. So maybe you could... maybe find some answers and text your answers to the church mobile number. Maybe we will do a survey what exactly you miss, and once we come back, and maybe we could do that. For me, I would say we miss the small birthday parties which happen outside. You know, the cakes and the soft drinks. We miss that. And I miss worshiping together as a congregation. So it's just amazing, you know. So let's believe, hope. I don't know how things will turn out, but God is with us. Now into the message. If I have to title this message, I would want to give a title, and that is, we live by the knowledge and the promises of God. We live by the knowledge and the promises of God. Okay, so with that being the premise, I want to go back to verse 3, where the apostle Peter, he's writing to people who have obtained this righteousness by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And he is saying that we can live this life. Not only live, but we can worship God in the details of life around us, and also we can live a godly life in verse 3. And he's saying that God has given us divine power pertaining to all things which concern us. Okay, so to live this life, we require to be equipped. And this is what Peter is writing, that God, from his divine power, has given us all things that are required and suited to live not only this life, but live it in a godly manner also. Right? So, verse 3 is revealing to us God's character. You know, and if you read verse 3, it says, you can see the word given us. God's divine power has given us. Or in the Amplified, it says, God's divine power has bestowed on us. Right? So, it reveals to us that God, through the scriptures, is in the business of equipping us for the times that we will find ourselves in. Okay, so that is the character of God, that he gives us, he equips us, he forms virtue in us through all the details of life. And that is so true to who he is to us, right? So this verse carries the idea of a worker. And if he has to do a certain job, he needs to be first trained. He needs to be equipped. He needs to be skilled. And he needs all that which is required for him to bring that final product out. Okay, so that is the picture. And you could put any profession or any worker, right? So we need that equipping. And this is what Peter is saying. He's saying that because we have put our faith in Jesus, this faith is precious faith, and we have also obtained the righteousness which is not of our own works, but this righteousness is from Christ. Right, so he's saying that God has equipped us. He has done that deep work in us, and he is also doing it. And this is his divine powers doing in us. Okay, he is making us fit. He is making us fit. Okay, and when we progress in that verse 3, it says that through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. So the divine power finds its source in the knowledge of who God is. The divine power finds its source in the knowledge of who God is. Even as we said, the title is, we live by the knowledge of God. Right? So just pause and think about that phrase. The knowledge of him. The knowledge of him. This is what triggered the Apostle Paul, that he wrote, that I may know him, that I want to have the knowledge of him. I want to have the knowledge of God. I want to have the knowledge of this Almighty. Right? So, what is that knowledge? It is the full, and it is also the revealed personal character of who God is. Okay, so it is the full scope. It is the full scope. It is not a fragmented scope of who God is. No, but it is the full scope. And also it is the personal character of who God is that is revealed to us from the scripture. So Peter is saying that this divine power finds its source in the knowledge of who God is. We can also say the knowledge, we can connect it to the word, the mind of God, right? So from his mind, you know, stems this divine power, and this divine this knowledge is now given to us. So we can safely conclude, you know, we can make a conclusion here that God has foreknowledge and God has all knowledge regarding the affairs of this world. And especially when it comes to the believer, he is very, very knowledgeable of all the issues that we are going through at this particular time. But and this is what he is saying, that the divine power which is sourced in his mind, his knowledge, you know, that is like equipping us, making us fit at this point of time. And let us just compare the knowledge which is there in this world, right? Or the knowledge of our own self. You know what? The knowledge of the world and the knowledge of our Adamic self only produces death. It does not bring life to us. And even at this time, when we are bombarded with so much of the knowledge which is there in this world, it is not producing any life to us. So we have to be careful, what are we listening to at this time? But we can make a shift, that we can partake of the knowledge of God, who God is to me, what He is to me, what His promises tell me about who He is. And I can live by that, and I can have life. I can have life from that knowledge of God. And John 14 verse 19, that because God lives, because I live, you will also live. Isn't that a great word of knowledge from God? Because I live, you will live also. You will live also. And God, we know His characteristic is that He does not lie. He does not lie. He tells us the truth. He tells us the truth, and we can live by that. And even as we progress to verse 4, Peter writes, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Right? So, God has given us great promises, and we live by that promise, because again, He holds true to what He has said, and He will bring it to pass. And one of the messages which I has remained in my inmost being, in my heart, is from Acts chapter 27, verse 25. And this is a scene, just the background, you can read that chapter. And this message was preached by Pastor Shivali in one of the conference messages. And it is titled, I Believe God, It Will Be Exactly As God Has Said. I Believe God, It Will Be Exactly As God Has Said. And this is what happens in Acts 27. Paul has been taken into prison, and he has to be in Rome, and he is moving by ship, and there are many hauls which the people do. He is tagged along with a centurion. He is being taken along on the ship. There are violent storms. They stop on some islands, and then they move forward. And then Paul actually tells them, you know, that this voyage is going to be like a boisterous voyage. But nevertheless, the centurion, they don't heed to Paul's word, and they move. And they really get stuck in a violent storm. And one night, the angel of God visits Paul, and the angel communicates to him, saying that there will be no loss of life. Though there will be a violent storm, though there will be these winds which will blow contrary to y'all, but let me tell you that there will be no loss of life. And this is what Paul communicates to the people on that ship. And he says, the angel visited me, the angel from God, whom I serve, whom I worship, visited me. And he has told me that there will be no loss of life. And this is what Paul communicates back to the people, saying that I believe my God. It will be exactly as God has said. That was a promise which Paul gave to the people there, and they lived by that promise, and that is the promise which you and I have, and that is the promise that you and I can live by, and this is what Apostle Peter is saying. He's saying that we live by these precious promises, and we also, the result is amazing. We become partakers of God's divine nature, and also we are escaping. We are escaping the corruption. We are escaping the decay, the moral decay which is there in the world, because we are partaking of this promise, and we are partaking of the very life of God, and we are escaping this. So the promises of God, the promises of God, right? So I heard Tozer, read Tozer, and he says, the work of the Spirit is this. You know what the work of the Spirit is? The Spirit takes the words from this book, and He takes the words from the mouth of the preacher, and the Spirit locks it into the heart of the listener. That's the work of the Spirit, right? So the words from this book, from the mouth of a preacher, and deposited into the heart of the listener, you know. So that is what the word does to us, and thank you that we are in an amazing place where we keep hearing, keep listening, and God has not left us alone. He has given us His precious promises, and we have the knowledge of God, and we are going to live by these two things, the knowledge of God and the precious promises by which He wants us to live. So have an amazing week. Thank you so much, Father. We pray that You will minister to us the message to follow, the special songs, everything, Lord. Just visit Your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday morning service, and I hope you all are well and and edified and built up. And for today's message, let's turn to Exodus chapter 16. And we'll read from verses 14 to 18. Exodus 16, verses 14 to 18. And when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness, was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take," excuse me, "for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered a little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. We pray You would minister to us. We pray You would speak to us. Yes, we lift up Val's mom, Auntie Harriet. We pray for her health. We pray for Val and Jyoti and their whole family, Lord, that You would comfort them and strengthen them at this time. And be with us, Father, and speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to, the title of my message is, God has a provision for every situation of my life. God has a provision for every situation of my life. In Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, Paul said this, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory." And when you look at that verse, "my God," we can say He is the provider, shall supply. We can say that is the provision. And the word provision was one of the most favorite words of Pastor Brian when he would teach us Bible college and preach. He would use the word provision a lot. I always remember him using the word provision. And this morning, I want to say this, that God has a provision for every situation of my life. Now, as we are in Exodus 16, a little background, we see that Moses has led the people of Israel out of bondage from Egypt, and they have crossed the Red Sea, and it is almost like a month and a half in the wilderness, and we see a unique thing happen. So in Exodus 16, 1 to 12, we see the complaints of Israel, that they are complaining. And what are they complaining for? They are complaining for food. So we see here in chapter 16, verse 1, and they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." So these are their complaints. They are complaining. And in verse 4, the Lord says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily.'" So this is what God tells Moses. And then we see in verse 13, "So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat.'" And this is beautiful, that God, though they complain, he provides for them this unique kind of bread, which is something which falls from heaven. And in verse 16, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. And they were supposed to gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, in verse 16. Verse 17, "The children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less." And what was this? This was the provision of God. This was the provision of God. So God had a plan. He saved them out of bondage. And then he led them, we see, by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And this was the provision of God in the wilderness. The provision. And then we see here, it says here in verse 17 and 18, "Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need." In our second point today, we see that the provision of God was enough. That's important. That the provision of God, they never fell short. They never fell short. So as they gathered it, it says here very clearly that some gathered more and some less, but when they measured it, they had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. So the provision of God was enough. And the third thing we see is the provision of God, and this is an important point, it was given on a daily basis. That's very interesting. It was not, the provision was not given like for 1 week in a row, or for 1 month in a row, or for 3 months in a row, or for a year in a row. It was given every day. Every day they had to get up, they had to collect it. It was enough for 1 day. And then on the sixth day, they had to collect it like two portions, because the Sabbath, right? So the sixth day and the seventh day, they didn't have to collect it. That was the Sabbath, and it would suffice. And then again on the eighth day, they would collect it. So this was the process. It was on a daily basis, on a daily basis. And verse 22, and it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses and said, then he said, this is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. And in verse 24, so they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. So they gathered this on a daily basis, and this was their provision. Now, when we come to Exodus 16 and verse 35, and the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And it says here, they ate it for 40 years. Now, Exodus 16:35 is telling us about a historical fact, but there was a reason why they were in the wilderness for 40 years, which I did in a in a message before. Because of what happened in Numbers 13 and 14, it took 40 years. Otherwise, it would have been immediate getting into the promised land. So they ate manna. So God was faithful in providing the manna on a daily basis. And let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. When the next generation crossed the Jordan with Joshua and Caleb, in Joshua 5 and verse 12, we see here, verse 10, Joshua 5:10. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Verse 12. Then the manna ceased on that day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. That's a very interesting point. So, when they, in Joshua 5, when they entered that land, we see, and they ate the produce of the land, then the manna ceased. So we can clearly see that this was God's provision in the wilderness wanderings. Every day the manna would fall. Now, one of the points to think about is that it was the same manna every day. What was it? It was the same manna every day. It was not like, manna today and roti tomorrow and naan on the third day. There was no variety. It was the same manna every day. And we see in Numbers chapter 11 that initially when the manna fell, there was a lot of excitement and there was a lot of joy. But later on in Numbers chapter 11, we see that this is the attitude towards the manna in Numbers chapter 11. Verse 4. Numbers 11 verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Verse 7. Now the manna was like coriander seed and its color like the colors of delium. Verse 8. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. So we see here that what happened after some time, we see there was familiarity towards the provision of God. What was once wafers of honey in Numbers, Exodus 16, is now become what? Wafers of oil, right? It's the same old thing, familiarity. And this is really important for us, because how can we apply this message to our lives today? When you come to John chapter 6, we see Jesus uses the same illustration of the manna, and he says, I am the manna. I am the bread of life that came from heaven. And he says this in John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And then he says this very interesting verse. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. One may eat of it and not die. And then he compares himself to the manna. So, how can we apply this thought to our lives today? In the current season, most of us have been enclosed in our own homes. Every morning we get up, it is the same four walls. If we are living with our families, we are seeing the same people. If we are living in a dorm, it's the same dorm people, right? Or if you're living alone, maybe you are looking at your laptop, maybe you're looking at your kitchen counter, your gas, right? Your bathroom is the same old, your bedroom, your living room, it is the same routine. But what is very important is this, that irrespective of the situation we find ourselves in today, God has a provision for every situation of our life. And today, in the New Testament, what is the provision for us? What was in the Old Testament, it was physical food, which was manna. In the New Testament today, it is the Word of God. The Word of God is our spiritual food on a daily basis. In Matthew 6, Jesus taught, give us today our daily bread. And that talks about physical food. But in an application, it could also be looked at as our spiritual food. Give us today our daily bread. In this whole season, many of us cannot figure out which day it is. You know, as I was talking to my brother, and he made this beautiful statement, it is no more Monday, Tuesday, or whatever, it is just today. There's no yesterday, there's no tomorrow, it is just today. And what we can think of today is that no matter what situation we are in, God has a provision for every situation in our lives. And what is that provision? That provision is the Word of God. On a daily basis, we can read, we can meditate, we can ask God to speak to us through His Word. It is the Word of God, and that is our daily food. And we don't have to worry about tomorrow, right? In Matthew 7, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Matthew 6, the last part, the last verse. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We just have to live one day at a time. Why? Because God knows our situation. In the Old Testament, did God know what He was doing with the nation of Israel? He knew it. Was His promised land immediate? Yes. But the wilderness situation got delayed because of their disobedience in Numbers 13 and 14. But yet, even in their disobedience, God was faithful. in providing the manna on a daily basis. And that manna, it sustained them and it satisfied them and it provided nourishment for them until they came into the promised land. And then it ceased when they ate the normal food of the promised land. And in an analogy today, in the same way today, you know, God has a provision for us. It can look like the same word every day. We get up, it's the same word. It's the same book. It is not something spectacular. It may not be something new or miraculous or something huge. It is just as simple as just the simple reading and study and the hearing and the meditation of the Word of God. It's as simple as that. You know, for an illustration on this, in 2 Kings 5, Naaman, who is a commander of the Syrian king, he's got leprosy. And and let's turn there. And he hears, the one servant girl tells him that if you go to the nation of Israel, there's a man of God who can heal you. And he comes there. And when he comes, we see that Elisha doesn't even meet him. Elisha just says this, verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. And then he talks in verse 12, are not the Abana and the Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. So we see here that when we look at the provision of God, many times it is not like the way we want God to do it. Maybe we are praying and it is the right thing to pray about this current season. Lord, we want the coronavirus to stop. We want to go out freely and so on and so forth. But what is the provision for this season? It's very simple. Number one, wear a mask. Number two, wash your hands. Number three, social distance. Very simple. Number four, stay inside the house as much as possible. It is not glamorous. It is not, supernatural or like a big miracle. No, it is just the simple things. And God has a provision, even in this situation of our lives, where there is so much panic in the city and in the state with the rising cases. What is the provision? The provision is His Word. Just to receive it. Just to hear it, not to get familiar with it, right? It's the same word. And, you know, we can also think about our own lives. When we got saved and we just started to read the Bible and hear the Bible preach, we used to get excited at the Word of God. But now maybe after a couple of years, the Word of God doesn't excite us. We don't want to read it so often, right? What has happened? Familiarity has come in. But what is God doing? God has a provision for every situation of my life. Another example is in 1 Kings 17, where we see here, and this is interesting, 1 Kings 17, and verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now it's very interesting here that God is saying, you drink from the brook and I will send the ravens. But the ravens were considered as an unclean bird. We don't see Elijah protesting here and saying, "Lord, how can you send the food through an unclean delivery person?" He's not complaining. He just simply eats it. And then when that provision ends, we see verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him saying in verse 9, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he goes there. He didn't protest and say, "Lord, please, what about my reputation? If I go and tell the widow I have nothing to eat, what will she think of me?" He doesn't say that. And that's very interesting. He just does as God says. And later on, when he's running away from Jezebel in 1 Kings 19, we see verse 5, "Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that day, 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God." This is beautiful. What is God doing? God is providing for Elijah at the brook Cherith, the water of the brook and the ravens. Then the widow at Zarephath. And then later on, an angel provides the food and tells him to eat. And he goes in the strength of it for 40 days. So for us today, it is encouraging to understand and know that my God shall supply all your need according to His glory. God has a provision for every situation of my life, of our lives. He has a provision. And we don't have to worry about anything. Yes, it's possible that there may be no work. Yes, it's possible we are not getting salaries. Yes, it's possible we are eating the same simple food, rice, dal and pickle, and seeing the same four walls. Yes, it's possible. And we are thinking, when will this happen? When will this open up? When will the situation become better? That's fine. All we need to do is recognize that God has a provision for every situation and to receive that provision with joy. You know, when God had a plan for Joseph and Mary, right? In the book of Luke, we see when Mary had to give birth, there was no room at the inn. She gave birth in the stable. But we don't see them complaining. Why? Because that stable was God's provision for Mary and Joseph. And then you have the kings coming from the Orient and giving the gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh. And that is what they used when the angel told them to flee away. That was the provision they used to flee away, right? God has a provision for every situation of our lives. And all we need to do is receive that provision joyfully. Amen? Just receive it joyfully. And it is enough for the day. You get up in the morning and we read the Bible. And whatever God speaks to us, that is our provision for the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow get up again and it's the same routine. It's the same routine, but it's the same manna. It is the same word of God which will sustain us and get us through and take us out of this situation. Amen. And one day, 40 years later, they entered the promised land under Joshua, the next generation, and they ate the produce of the land. Right? And one day, as we are waiting on the Lord and praying to Him, right, one day this season will end. We will all remember it. And life will get back to normalcy. And we will be able to say, yes, God provided for us. He had a provision in that difficult situation. I want to close with two passages. One is Lamentations chapter 3. This is after Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And this is Jeremiah speaking, and he's speaking in a very difficult situation. And the nation of Israel is in captivity. Everything has been destroyed. Everything has been lost. But they are in captivity because of their sin. But they are alive. And he says, because of the Lord's mercies, that same word, hased, right? Loving kindness. We are not consumed. His compassions. It talks about the womb, like the loving tenderness of God. They fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Then he says in verse 26, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The word salvation here is not talking about how we understand salvation, which is salvation from sin and entrance to heaven. But this is talking about salvation as in deliverance from a situation. So he's saying, it is good that we hope and wait quietly for the deliverance of the Lord. And this is a good verse for us, that we would hope and wait quietly for the deliverance, that one day we will come out of this season victorious. And I just want to read this Psalm, Psalm 91, in the rise of, because of all the situations we are in, as a word of encouragement. I just want to read this Psalm, Psalm 91. And you can turn there and you can read with me loudly. Verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Verse 7 is important. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you see, look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, and you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful passage for us to be greatly encouraged? No matter what is happening around us, right? It says here, I love this. Verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. So in closing today, let's be encouraged. Irrespective of however, how difficult you think your situation is, how bleak or your situation looks like there's absolutely no hope, the Bible says that God has a provision for every situation of our lives, for every situation of your life and every situation of my life. Let's just accept the provision joyfully, and that provision is our sustenance and our satisfaction for the day. Right? And just let's live one day at a time with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Yes, we thank you. We worship you. Pray for all our people in their homes. Pray you would provide for them spiritual provision, Lord. Words from your throne. Physical provisions, food on a daily basis, Lord. For protection, Lord. Protection from the virus and the situations we are in. Protection, Father, we pray for everyone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to us. Pray for Auntie Harriet again. Lord, be with her, her health, Father. And thank you for ministering to us today, Lord. Help us to value your word above everything else in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week. Yes, and a blessed meditation. And keep Pastor Benny and me in prayer. And we are praying for you all. And let's believe God for all things. Amen. And let's think about that day, one day when the situation will be over. And we will meet again. And we will worship and praise God together as one church. Amen.